Well, for several weeks, we've been talking about the spiritual battle or the spiritual warfare that I have called the normal Christian life. The Christian soldier has been identified as everyone who is in Jesus Christ, and we've been prepared through Ephesians 6 to go into battle. We've been talking about preparation. We've talked about some of the background. We've talked about how this battle is a battle for souls and the souls of those who are in Christ. We've looked at our enemy to see what we are fighting against or who we are fighting against. And in our last sermon, we heard our charge, the charge to stand fast, the charge to fight in the Christian life. You remember that in the Christian life, all who are in union with Christ are called into this battle. We are not permitted to be pacifists in the battle for our souls. We must be armed and proactive in the Christian life. We're called as a part of this army of those who are in Christ, and we're called to fight. Now, over the next several weeks, we'll look at each piece of the armor of God, and we'll see how each one of us are equipped for the Christian life. And this morning, I want to begin with this first piece that is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. And it's in Ephesians 6:14, the first part. So A, Ephesians 6:14 A. And it says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Some translations will say, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Probably those of you that memorized this text as a child memorized it as, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So we're talking about a belt. We're talking today about the belt that is called the belt of truth. And what do we mean when we hear that? What are we supposed to learn as we hear to have the belt of truth fastened as we go into this battle that is the Christian life? We're going to begin with our first heading, which is the belt and the soldier. The belt and the soldier. More modern translations talk about having the belt tied or the belt being fastened, but that older language is to gird up your loins. Gird up your loins. And in the ancient world, men wore long tunics. They went to war, and the tunic would be the basic garment that was worn, and armor would go over that tunic. One book on manners and customs in the time of Jesus says the tunic was a shirt that was worn next to the skin. It was made of leather, hair cloth, wool, linen, or cotton. The simplest form was without sleeves and reached the knees or sometimes the ankles, and the well-to-do wore sleeves and extending to the ankles. Women as well as men wore it, although there was no doubt a difference in style and pattern worn by the two. Among the lower classes, the tunic was often the only dress worn in warm weather." So you get the image, or you've seen the image of the tunic. It's this long garment that is down to the knees or to the ankles. And as you think about going into battle, and what it would look like to go into battle if you're putting armor on over a tunic that goes to the knees or to the ankles, you can see something about the difficulty of going into battle. It would be hard to fight if you were wearing something that would be what we might visualize as a dress. So the tunic. Now, what about the loins? We mentioned the older word loins. The Greek word is that place in the mind of the Hebrew where children come from. That place where children originate from. You'll think of verses in the scriptures that will say something like, from the loins of your father. So the imagery there being from the hips or from the waist, that area around the front of the legs. And the Apostle Paul says to gird that up, to take that and to be prepared for battle. Now, for the hearer, that would have something in their mind as to what that would look like. The soldier is going to pull up the bottom, and then that is wrapped around the legs, and it's tied in the front. So they're tying up this tunic so that they're able to run, or they're able to defend as they go forth. I remember talking with one of you about there's a blog called The Art of Manliness, and on that blog there was one post on walking through what it looked like to gird your loins, and it gave a demonstration and it showed the way that the tunic would be pulled through the legs and around the waist and tied in the front as a way for the ancients to prepare themselves for going into battle. And when we hear this, this is the idea of the belt. The belt as the soldier is prepared for battle. But this belt and this tying up of the tunic and the guarding of the loins, or the girding of the loins, this is what is going to allow for all of the other armor to rest properly on the one that is going to fight. So a breastplate goes on, and a sword goes on, and all of these other parts are going on, and the girding of the loins must occur before these other things are able to be properly worn. So girding the loins, in the ancient mind, it became language for being prepared. So you'd hear that. It would be something that was used even in the marketplace or in the language of the day. People would say, well, you know, there's this thing happening and this and that and the other thing. I hope you've girded your loins. And what that means is, I hope you are prepared. I hope you are ready for whatever it is that is coming against you. Telling you something is about to happen. You can think of Job 38. Job 38, God says to Job, gird up your loins like a man. So what he's saying is, make yourself strong. Make yourself vigorous. Be prepared with the highest effort of preparation. Because you are going into a spiritual battle. You are going together as an army, going forth into the daily battle, which is the Christian life. And God here is saying to you to be prepared, to be ready, to be prepared with effort to go forth into this battle. This is your call as the spiritual Christian. You're to fasten on the belt of truth. Now, we want to look further as to what this means. And secondly, this morning, we will see truth and the soldier. truth and the soldier. When the apostle here makes this connection between the waist, and he says that the tying up of the tunic is the belt of truth, he connects these things. So he sees the preparation for this spiritual battle as being connected to truth. He says, having fastened on the belt of truth. That means that in this armor that's being imagined here, this girding of the loins or this fastening of the belt, depending on which translation you're using today, it shows us how we as Christians are to interact with truth as you prepare for battle. You, as a Christian, have a relationship with truth. And we're called to be in such a relationship with truth. You remember, Paul's unfolded the gospel in Ephesians. We've learned of union with Christ, and we've learned how central these things are to justification, and we've applied the gospel to various aspects of your life, whether that's in home, or whether that's in the marketplace, or whether that is in work. And here we see truth and the soldier being related. You are to be prepared with truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. So truth and the mind are related in the Christian. And friends, I want you to know that this is the battle that you are being prepared for. This is the battle that, again, as the figurative alarm clock or real alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, that is the entrance of this battle. And when that alarm clock goes off and you hit that button to stop the alarm from going, I want you to think that as a Christian, you have a relationship with truth. And as you go into your day, you have a relationship with truth. You see, if your mind is not fully engaged in the truth that is the Christian life, then you are unprepared for Monday morning. What you put in your mind is that for which you are preparing. Your mind is this fertile ground where you're planting and you're watering and you're growing and you're harvesting. And this is constantly going on in the mind. And you're putting things in the mind. And you're caring about the things that you put in your mind. And you're investing into the things that you're putting in your mind. And those things that you've put in your mind, they grow out of you. They become the product which is your life. They are the fruit of what you are investing in within your mind. That means that if you know that your mind is that field of preparation for the Christian life, and your mind is that field of preparation for this battle that we've called the Christian life, then your mind ought to be cultivating something of readiness. It ought to be preparing for the battle of the Christian life, both offensively as well as defensively, as strategy would go. I remember reading an article from a professor of a very well-known university in the United States, and she said of her students that they were generally kind and nice and respectable, yet their minds were relatively empty of substance. One of the best-known universities in the United States, and the current understanding of those that are professors that are teaching them is that they come to them empty of substance. Now, that doesn't mean that their minds aren't full. It just means they're not full of things of value. They are empty of substance. The mind is where this girding for truth begins. And I want you to think about that. I want you to maybe do some inventory as to what you're putting into your mind. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are the articles that you're reading online? What are the magazines that you look at, if you actually look at magazines anymore? And we see that these are the things, the images and the words and the sounds and the sights, all of this as we're filling our mind throughout the week. And as you're filling your mind, those are the things that are preparing you to live life and to fight the Christian fight. Now, does that mean that you're only to be reading, you know, ancient, dusty tomes of sacred theology? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if your excuse is that you don't have time for that, yet you can tell me all the new and latest memes that are hilarious that went online this week, maybe there's a problem. Those things are not preparing your mind for the battle that is the Christian life. The soldier's first weapon is cultivated and sharpened in the mind. And this is true. Those that study military theory and some of our oldest institutions in the United States, we have old institutions that were intended to train ministers, and we have old institutions that were to train warriors. Those are our oldest institutions in the United States as far as training goes. And those that trained to fight had to train first and foremost with their minds. All of you that call upon the Lord Jesus Christ are called to be prepared. So I would ask you, what goes into your mind? What are the things with which you are preparing for the Christian life? And I would ask the young people that question, what are the things going into your minds? What are you preparing for the Christian life by thinking on and having a relationship with intellectually in your mind? And I would ask the older folks as well, what are the things that you're putting in your mind that are part of your preparation for the Christian life? You have a relationship with truth, whether that's something you think about or not. You do. And as Christians, we are called to think things that are true and to meditate on things that are true and to be prepared for the living out of the Christian life through the things that are true according to the Word of God. Now, you might look at that and you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure what that means as far as what we are to be meditating on. What are the things that are true that you would have us to prepare ourselves with? And I would say that the truth here that is being argued is twofold. And the first is the doctrinal truth of Scripture. So the teachings of the Scripture that are true and right. That is first. And secondly, the truth of the sincerity of heart. Now, sincerity of heart says that you actually believe the things that you profess to believe. So doctrinal truth, things that we believe, that the Scriptures teach, the things that are true, and then the sincerity of heart by which you hold on to those doctrinal truths. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if that's true. It probably needs to be Jesus. That's Sunday School 101. Truth needs to be Jesus. And I'd say, of course, Jesus is central to this. Jesus is central to the truth of the Scriptures. But if we make this aspect of the armor of God Jesus, then that means that the other aspects of the armor of God are not Jesus. And we want Jesus to be in all of this, in all of our armor, not just one piece of the armor that we carry. But someone else might say that the truth here needs to be God's word. Thy word is truth, is what Jesus says in John 17. So the word of God is true. And again, I agree with that 100%. But the metaphor that's being used here in all of Ephesians 6, remember, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So he's not saying, here's truth, it's the Bible, and then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is also the Bible. He's giving us a full metaphor for this warrior that goes forth as we fight the Christian life. And here he's saying truth. So truth, as I understand it, is the teaching of the Scriptures, which we call doctrine, what we believe. And then the sincerity of heart with which we hold it. How do we believe it? Founded on the Word of God, received with conviction of mind and sincerity of heart. So we begin with this teaching, the doctrines that the Scriptures teach. So doctrinal conviction. And you can't just say, well, Pastor, I just believe what the Bible says. People say that. I just believe what the Bible says. And that sounds really pious, doesn't it? But when we ask questions as to what the Bible says, we begin to examine and we begin to say, well, that's not what I mean, and this is what I mean. And that is part of doing doctrine. What does the Bible teach about Jesus Christ? What does the Bible teach about the nature of man? What does the Bible teach about the character of God? What does the Bible teach about the way that a sinner becomes a Christian? What does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? You see, these are questions that are doctrinal in nature. And yet, just by hearing them, we hear how practical that is. And if we don't have this relationship with truth, where we're able to think through those things and say, here's what the Scripture teaches, and here's Bible verses that back that up, and here's language that helps us to understand that better. When we go into the battle, whether that is in the university or at the water cooler, or whether that's in the homeschool co-op, or whether that's in the 12th grade English class, or whatever it is, wherever you go, if you're not able in your mind to begin discussing and thinking through and having this relationship with truth, when somebody says, that is not true, or somebody says, all truth is the same, or somebody says, oh, I hate it, speaking your truth, all of that goes against what we believe. And you need to be equipped to answer some of that and to think through some of that. Now, again, does that mean you need a PhD in systematic theology? It does not mean you need a PhD in systematic theology. But it means that in those conversations that you have, sometimes having the humility to say, you know, I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you. That goes a long way. But also being able to say, of course you think this way because your worldview thinks that way. But here's what the Bible says. Thus says the Lord. That's a relationship with truth, and it's a great way to be prepared for the battle that is the Christian life. All of these questions and answers that give the scope of what the Word of God teaches, this is what we call theology. Again, that's not a bad word. Sometimes people hear that and they think that's heavy and dusty and that's for the professionals, but it's not. It's something with which each of us, or in which something that in which each of us are called to be engaged as the preparation for the Christian life. And when you gird up the loins of your mind, you are preparing your mind for this battle that will require you to answer these questions. These questions that interact with what you believe. And these questions that will help you to think through what it means to be, even today, what it means to be human. And what it means to be made in the image of God. And what it means to be a sinner and fallen. And what it means that you need salvation. And what it means that you need a mediator. And what it means that the mediator is the God-man. And here are his offices. And what it means that you believe. And here's union with Christ unfolded. And then what it means to live as a Christian in this life, loving God and loving neighbor. And then what it means to have a spiritual life, interacting with the church, as well as living in piety and prayer. See, what I've just done is literally walk through the outline of the Shorter Catechism. That's doing theology, that our minds would be equipped for this battle that is the Christian life. The Christian soldier loves truth. And we're called to do this also with sincerity of mind. Sincerity. We grow in grace, and we grow in knowledge, and we grow in love for the truth. Without sincerity of heart and truth, you will be merely an encyclopedia of theological knowledge. An encyclopedia of theological knowledge, as great as that is, we don't need living ones. We have written ones. What we need are epistles on which God has written, which is your life, so that you're able to show what it means to sincerely believe this. I hold this. You believe this. This is important to us in the Christian life. The Christian soldier loves the truth in heart and in mind. You are to be sincere. Now you might say, well, Pastor Nathan, I think that it's important to not have a whole bunch of theological knowledge and become dry and dusty in my profession of faith. Me too. You might say, well, I think sincerity is the most important. That if God looks down and he sees I'm sincere and I'm not growing in knowledge and I'm not trying to know things and I'm not reading my Bible, but I'm sincere, I love God, well, I would encourage you to study the things of God and to know the things of God, because you can be sincere in your ignorance. You can be sincerely ignorant of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live the Christian life. And we're not putting these things against each other. It's not sincerity versus theology. It's not truth versus application. It's not the mind versus the heart. The Scripture does not do that. It puts it together as a package and says, this is what a Christian is, and this is the way a Christian thinks and a Christian lives. Congregation, fasten your belt. Be prepared for battle. Because if you claim to be in Christ, if you're in union with Christ, that battle is something that you will be engaged in. You are to be ready. You are to gird up the loins of your mind. So we've seen the belt and the soldier. We've seen the truth and the soldier. And lastly, I want to look at the enemy and the soldier. We've talked about truth, and I've talked about the doctrines of the Word of God and holding on to those doctrines with sincerity. I've encouraged you to grow in your knowledge of them, and young people, now is the time to do that. Your minds are fertile. They're sponges. Life doesn't get any easier than what you have now. Okay, you might not believe that, but it's true. You have more time now than you will ever have in your life. Fill your mind with the knowledge of God that He may use it in your life. But we see also there is this relationship with the enemy. So thirdly, the enemy of and the soldier. The enemy and the soldier. How does this truth help you to stand in the day of battle? That's what Paul's told us, right? Stand firm. Stand in the day of battle. And then he says, do this with your mind. How is this going to help us? By doing this with your mind. I want to give you three ways that Satan comes against the Christian. And this will underscore your great need for growing in truth. The first is that he comes against the Christian as a lion. Peter says to be sober-minded because Satan prowls about as a lion seeking to devour. There will be times of great trial in your life. There will be times when you are less prepared for Monday and times when you are more prepared. But you are called here to fasten the belt of truth as your mind and soul will be assaulted. This lion will come at you. And by the grace of God, you will grow in truth and you will grow in the knowledge of truth and you will grow in the commitment to the truth, because the clear teaching of the New Testament is that Satan looks at your soul and wants to devour it as a lion. By the grace of God in Christ, truth is held dearly. And truth is to be is needed to fight against this one who comes as a lion wanting to devour your soul. The second way that the enemy comes against you is as a serpent. As a serpent. The serpent was the first attack on the truth. Satan incarnate came with this question, has God said? Has God said is the original attack on the people of God. And I promise that this question has not gone away. This question still stands as an attack against the Christian. Has God said? Sometimes that attack is in seminaries as the Word of God is questioned as to whether the Word of God is the Word of God. At other times, that may be that you hold on to a position or an application that is found within the Scriptures, and has God said, it comes to your mind that you would give this up and that you would put this away. You know, has God said, is it important that you're here on the Lord's Day? Has God said that? Is it important that you're growing and that you're sitting under preaching and hearing the Word of God preached? Has God said? Or to children, as you want to rebel against your parents or you want to disobey and come against the things that they're trying to teach you in the Lord, and you say, has God said? That's you, Dad. That's you, Mom. Has God said? These are the attacks that will come to you through the week. Whether as a lion wanting to devour you, wanting to just keep you from being a Christian, to eat you alive, as we would say, or a serpent that comes in a crafty way, causing you to question the things of God and to question the reality of the things of God. And thirdly, we see that Satan attacks the Christian soldier as a wolf. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Wolves come to teach false things to the church. And when false things are taught to the church, it is so that the church may be devoured. The book of Revelation talks about churches where candlesticks are removed. And the idea is that the light of the gospel is snuffed out. Things that were once churches cease to be churches. And again, we could go up and down the East Coast and we could look at beautiful old structures of places where the gospel was once preached and where the gospel is no more. Places where wolves have come in and devoured the sheep. The sheep are the inheritance of Christ, and that devouring can be subtle. False teaching that masquerades as Christianity is often very subtle. It's rarely outward and obvious. It's usually using the same vocabulary that we use. And they say, "Well, you know, this is the way the church used to understand that word, but this is what I mean when I say the word." So you hear the teaching and you say, "I'm not sure what is different there, but something's off." It can be subtle, but it can devour souls. They can come as promoters of man-centered theology, placing the will of man over the will of God. Wolves can come as self-help gurus claiming, "Thus says the Lord," when really they're teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. Maybe sometime this week, go up to the Barnes & Noble on Colonial, look at their religion section, compare it with their self-help section. They're almost identical. It's because sections like that are often filled with wolves that want to devour the Christian. In the book of Romans, Paul says, "Beware of wolves." And wolves are only able to be fought when the loins of the mind are girded and when your mind is committed to truth. You see, you need to know the Word of God, and you need to know what the Word of God says, and you need to be able to know something of the categories of the Word of God. And friends, again, I'm not asking you to go get a degree in systematic theology. I promise you that any 12-year-old that has the shorter catechism memorized is better equipped than most American evangelicals in knowing truth, in knowing how to fight truth, in having the mind gird for the battle. Beware of wolves, lions, serpents, and wolves. Fasten on the belt of truth. That's the first defense against the assaults of the wicked one. And friends, I would call on you to grow in that truth. I want to give you 5 applications as we close. The first is, you need to understand, first and foremost, that Christ is truth. When we talk about truth and we talk about the truth of the Christian life, we do want a Christ-centered truth. So that means that if you're here today and you're not a Christian, or you're not in union with Christ, or if you have yet to believe the gospel and you're not trusting in Christ, if you're still trusting in yourself, or if you're in your sin and living in sin, realize that all of this girding of the loins and this putting on truth, all of this at this point is meaningless. You're defenseless. You must believe the gospel. Jesus says there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. You must begin here with trusting in Christ. And remember that Jesus says that he is a friend of sinners. You can come to Christ. Secondly, know what you believe. Know what you believe. Truth requires head knowledge and a commitment to that head knowledge with sincerity. Don't waffle between opinions. Don't say, well, that sounds good and that sounds good and this sounds good and this sounds good. Christians can spend their whole lives just waffling between opinions, and I promise you, it is not a good way to live the Christian life. Know what you believe, anchor yourself to that belief, and hold on to what the Word of God says. The New Testament describes those that are always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Some of you are very young in your faith, and you hear things like this, and you say, oh, Pastor Nathan, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can grow in this. I don't know if I can dedicate the time needed to this. Just keep growing in your understanding. Keep holding on to the things of God. Keep asking good questions. Keep trusting in the Lord. And grow as a Christian. Take time to talk to your pastor and your elders. Talk to the Christians in this room, you know, look around and say, who do I think here is a mature Christian? And hold on to that person. Ask questions. Ask how they live out their Christian life. Ask how they interact with living at work as a Christian. Ask the things that you want to ask. Hold on to those people. Fasten yourself to truth. Secondly, thirdly, this is related to the second, but it's not the same. Grow in your understanding of the truth as you grow in conviction of the truth. Grow in your conviction of the truth. And this starts with just simple Bible study. The Bible is this corpus of truth that you're to grow in and you're to use to categorize your thinking. Start studying the Word of God, and don't be afraid of that. Do word studies. Get a concordance. Start looking up words, seeing how they're connected throughout the Scriptures. Start asking some of these questions and putting in your mind verses under them. Who is Jesus? Well, you know, I just read from Galatians. Here's some stuff that would go under that question. Or what is man? Here's some stuff that would help me to think through what is man. Start working through the Word of God in a way that is helping you in that. And part of that is reading good books. Read good books. Fill your mind with truth. Do the hard work. And I don't know all of your reading desires or your abilities, and it's okay. We're at different places, but read. Begin to read things that fill your mind with the truth of the Word of God. Maybe you have a goal of like getting through a systematic theology. You know, go buy Burkhoff's Systematic Theology that's 3 inches thick and read 3 pages a day. Before long, you'll be done. And you'll have read the entire thing. And that maybe is more intimidating than you're wanting to do. But when I was in college and taking systematic theology classes, and it was a Christian school, so everyone was required to take systematics classes, and you had people that weren't Bible and theology nerds that were in the class, and they felt like they were sinking, always sinking. I would get copies of Burkhoff has a little book called The Summary of Christian Doctrine and pass those out. The Summary of Christian Doctrine. Here's what systematic theology teaches, and it's shrunk down into this little book that you're able to read, and it has questions at the end that help you think through what the Christian life is. But not just theology. You want to ask these questions. Who is Jesus? What is the church? How are you saved? What is baptism? And you can read many things. We have a Westminster Confession of Faith. There are the very inexpensive Puritan paperbacks that I've recommended to some of you. Books by CCEF. They're very, very practical. Books about living out the Christian life. Friends, this helps you to grow in truth. This helps you to be prepared for the battle. This is part of girding up your loins. So, fourthly, tighten the belt as it applies to all of life. How do the scriptures interact with all of life? What does the Bible say about your job, your marriage, your work, the economy, politics, education? Begin thinking through what the scriptures say about these things. Have conversations about these, because truth is important in all of these realms, not just in the church and theology realm, but in all of these realms of life. Truth is important and speaks into those realms. These are areas where you will have to fight the Christian battle. And if you're unprepared to speak in these areas, but these are your field, you are unprepared as a Christian in life. Areas where you will be assaulted day to day in the Christian life. Be prepared. And fifthly, be prepared now, and especially when you're not being assaulted. The worst time to think through how you're going to respond to this satanic assault or this uprising of the flesh or this way that the world comes at me. The worst time to prepare for those is during those things. So, you know, maybe you're struggling with a certain sin, and you think about that sin and you're like, I want to conquer that sin, I want to overcome it, but you never think about it unless you're in the midst of the battle. You are going to lose every time. You are going to fail every time. Why? Because you're not prepared. Because you're not prepared. You need to take the time to say, how do I prepare for the battle in this area? Whatever that sin is, whether that's the world coming at you, whether that's your flesh coming at you, or whether that's the devil coming at you. Be prepared for those battles with the truth. So, five applications that flow from the soldier that fastens the belt. Prepare for the Christian life. Put on the belt of truth. Gird up your loins. Be ready. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this relationship with truth that we must have. Teach us to walk according to your Word and to trust in you more and more. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's